Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Adam Hoge just strolled into our studio, A, where Rokan and Anna DeVlantis do their show. Hi, sir. How are you?
Isn't it great that what technology does to bring us all together?
Totally.
We had a show last night at Houndstooth Saloon for our podcast, the Hogan Johns podcast. We had people that came in. Now, they came for the game, granted, but they came in from Virginia, Minnesota. Somebody was there from Germany.
Adam, I heard there were so many people that they couldn't get in the room last night for you.
There was actually an overflow room. That actually was the case, and they put us up on a monitor so people in there could see us, and of course they could hear us. But it's just, especially in the podcast world, the reach. We have a lot of listeners that love the Bears in Europe, and so they listen to a podcast because that's how they get their Bears talk.
Well, that's a feather in your cap, but it's also a popular podcast because you guys just do such a good job.
Well, thank you.
We brag about the Mincing Rascals all the time. We don't have a fraction of the listenership you did. We got to talk about the Bears more on the Mincing Rascals podcast.
Well, I was going to say, I got to credit the Bears a little bit, too, because they always give us stuff to talk about that fans want to hear, like this giant football game tonight at Soldier Field.
I'm just going to read a few more locations, and let's talk about that. Dubuque, Iowa. Hey, John, we're listening in Noonan, Georgia, the only station we still love after moving here 6 years ago. Somebody else said, I'm listening to you in California. Buckeye, Arizona. We moved here from Fox River Grove last year. We love you guys at WGN. I'll bet the folks that are listening to us on the stream, hello, Houston, Texas. Thanks for listening. Are really tapped into this game today because it connects them to Chicago and the great rivalry with the Green Bay Packers. The NFL's 100 years this year?
100 years, the Bears' 100th season, and I just think it's really cool what they did with this game. It's always usually the Super Bowl winner playing whoever's on their schedule in week one. That's the kickoff game. And the NFL said, hey, it's the 100th season. We got to do this differently. And we got the Bears, who are celebrating their 100th season. The Packers actually celebrated their 100th season last year because they existed before the league all came together. And so you just got this great rivalry to one really good team, I think the Bears. And the Packers are good, too. They're going to be in the conversation this year. So what a great way. And as I look out the studio right now, what a perfect day in Chicago,
too. How about
it?
How about it? Well, so this is the NFL acknowledging that the greatest rivalry, then, is the Bears and Packers.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the other ones? What compares to this? Who are the teams that love to hate each other?
I mean, the fact that I even have to hesitate to think about it tells you that the Bears and Packers are clearly the best.
I mean, I'm thinking Oakland and San Francisco, or that's
a little bit, but the Raiders have moved around. You know, I look to the AFC North, the Steelers and Browns probably going back, and even more recently, the Steelers and Ravens. But the Ravens haven't existed that long either.
100 years. This is it.
A lot of the great rivalries involve the Bears because not only have they been around so long, but they were really good in the early parts of the franchise. And so going back and spending some of my summer reading up on these things, they had great rivalry with the Giants.
The Bears?
Yes.
Really? Over the years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Vikings?
Well, of course, because they're in the same division, but the Vikings they don't go back as far. And then the interesting thing is people forget the Arizona Cardinals are originally from Chicago. The Chicago Cardinals. They played at Comiskey Park. And so you actually used to have a crosstown rivalry
in the NFL.
And then they ended up moving to St. Louis, and then they moved on to Arizona. And so the Cardinals, you don't think about them this way, but are also one of the oldest franchises in the NFL. But people are like, oh, they're in Arizona. And, you know, sports aren't huge. Half Arizona is Chicago fans, right? Anyway,
prioritize for me what do you think are the flashpoints tonight? Trubisky's one? I mean, would he be the most interesting unknown in this game tonight?
Yeah, I think for sure him taking the next step. To me, the biggest unknown in the football game is actually what the Packers are going to bring on offense. They have a brand new head coach who's only 39 years old, 4 years older than Aaron Rodgers. How is that going to mesh? You got this big all-time great quarterback. Who's saying, I've been doing this way forever. I don't need a young head coach to come in here and change everything. I'm not saying that's what he's saying now, but you do wonder with these dynamics with these head coaches, what is this all going to look like tonight for the Packers against this great Bears defense, who, oh, by the way, have a different coordinator now, too. So does that look different at all? That's kind of where I'm focused on tonight, on what could be different and what's kind of unexpected.
Are the expectations possibly too high for Khalil Mack?
No. Khalil Mack is one of those rare players that you know what you're getting from him. As long as he's healthy, he is going to be a game wrecker. That's what he is. Even in the games where he's not necessarily sacking the quarterback every quarter, he's getting so much attention from the opposing offense that it's opening up things for the rest of the defense. And so Khalil Mack is the one constant, fixed constant on this team that, now we could say, are there too many expectations on the Bears as a whole this year? Maybe. But Khalil Mack, no.
What is the expectation for the Bears this year?
Well, John, I have them going 13-3 and winning the Super Bowl.
Yes, Sam was talking about that yesterday. He's rolling his eyes a little bit, but I thought that 9 was low. I would sure take the over. 12 is not that different than 13, but you've got them 13-3 and winning the Super Bowl.
The schedule's harder this year. That's what fans got to realize. I love that as somebody who covers the team because almost every single week it's a big game. Not, it's always a big game when they're good, but I'm talking the matchup. I mean, the Saints come to town this year. They're really good. The Chiefs, Matt Nagy going against his former mentor and Andy Reid. I mean, these games every week are going to be good, even outside the division. And that's going to be hard to win. I'm not lying. It's going to be hard to win 13 of 16 of those games.
Why do you got them doing that?
Because I just think they're really good. And I think that this city, as much hype as there is about the Bears and as much excitement as there is among the fan base, I think there's still the skepticism that, hey, this franchise, more times than not, is bad and struggle and can't win that Super Bowl.
They get in their own way.
And
they double doink.
So I get it, but I'm going out on a limb and saying I think across the board they're good. It's okay to admit that. It's okay to think they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Have we overplayed the significance of the kicking game?
No, because I still think as we go into this game tonight, it's the biggest weakness on the team. Part of that, though, is because Eddie Pinheiro is an unknown. We don't know. He's never kicked in an NFL game before other than these preseason games. But this is his first real NFL game tonight. We don't know how it's going to go. I feel better about it than I did going into the playoff game because at that point we kind of realized Cody Parkey, not that good. So
he's not playing. He's not in the NFL right now.
No, he actually had a workout with the Titans the other day but has not gotten a job.
Huh. Yeah. What about the backfield and what about the wide receivers?
I think, what time is it now? We are coming on 1:50, right?
Yeah.
And the game starts, so maybe 7-8 hours from now, America is going to be in love with David Montgomery, the Bears' rookie running back out of Iowa State. I think he's a perfect fit for this offense. I think he's going to be relied on right away, and I think he has a chance to be rookie of the year. In the NFL.
Has he been getting a lot of snaps in the preseason?
He did the first game because they wanted to see him, and he looked so good that Matt Nagy said, you are not playing the rest of the preseason.
You sit with Mitch and Khalil.
Yes. You go over with the guys that are good, and you will not play again.
I wonder how that makes the other guys feel. I mean, I'm sure they want the reps, but it does make you feel expendable, doesn't it?
It kind of divides the team a little bit. Here are the players that don't need to play. Here are the ones that do.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to love the he's going to carry the ball. Is he our feature back?
I think so, but let's not forget about Tariq Cohen. Still really, really good player who's going to be involved in the passing game, and we'll get some carries here and there too. But I think in terms of who's getting the ball handed off to him when they're running the football, it's going to be mostly David Montgomery.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
And then who's going to catch the passes that Trubisky is actually going to complete to them?
Well, that's the hope, right? Can Trubisky be more accurate? Allen Robinson set up for a huge year, I think. He had a good year last year, but was coming off an ACL injury, so it wasn't quite 100%. If you saw late in the year, especially fourth quarter against the Eagles in the playoffs, those two guys had a great connection. I think Allen Robinson's going to have a huge season, and let's not forget about Anthony Miller, second-year player who showed a lot of potential last year. Can he make that next step? Because he's got a chance to be a big superstar. And I should talk about Trey Burton, the tight end, because he's questionable tonight with a groin injury. It's like nothing changed in 8 months. The Bears have a suspect kicker, and Trey Burton has a groin injury. So if he's, this is the exact same storylines for the playoffs. So if he can't go, then the Bears are going to be a little bit depleted at tight end, and they're going to rely on Adam Shaheen a little bit more.
Do I remember correctly that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers didn't get off to a good start last year, or they had a real flat period, and he said, don't worry, we're going to be okay? Is that the version of the Packers you get these days?
You know, it's, they've actually had a few seasons like that. You know, you might remember a few years ago, he had the famous R-E-L-A-X, relax, and then they went off and they won like every game the rest of the season until they got to the playoffs. That was kind of the MO. They would start slow, and then they would turn it on in the second half behind Aaron Rodgers' right arm, and they'd be fine. Last year, though, that never happened. They beat the Bears week one. Then they tied against the Vikings, which almost never happens. They tied the Vikings, and I think they lost a couple games after that. And all of a sudden, it's like, all right, are they going to turn it around? And they never did, which is why Mike McCarthy got fired. And I think there's a lot of holes on this Packers team. They're good. They're not great. And Aaron Rodgers, he's getting up there. He's 35 years old now. Can he stay healthy for the whole season? And I think that's a big question mark.
They got a good quarterback behind him? Like he was too?
No. No, they have Tim Boyle, second year quarterback out of Eastern Kentucky. I study these quarterbacks really hard coming out of college, and I barely know this guy.
Who plays behind Mitch Trubisky again?
That's Chase Daniel.
Yeah, he's serviceable.
He's fine. I mean, you saw last year, Mitch missed two games. He went 1-1. That's kind of best case scenario, is that if he goes down, you want your backup quarterback to come in and keep you floating around 500. The problem is that's not good enough if it's a catastrophic injury and he's lost for the year.
What's going to be different about the NFL this year? Something? Nothing? Is it, because I know last year we talked a lot about where quarterbacks get hit and protecting them seemed to be a big part of the game. Are there any rule changes or just dynamics of the game that you think are noteworthy?
Well, along those lines, well if we're going that route, pass interference is now reviewable. You remember what happened in the NFC Championship?
Yeah,
wrong team went to the Super Bowl.
If ever for one play you should change the rules of the game, that was it.
It was, except I think it's a little of an overreaction. When has that happened in the history of the NFL?
Not much.
It happened one time. Do we really need to change a huge part of the game? How many times is the game going to get stopped now to review pass interference?
Are you not a replay guy? You don't love it so much?
I do like replay. I'm a little hesitant about going down this road with judgment calls, though, because until this point, judgment calls have never been reviewable.
I am that way about pretty much every sport. I think they overuse it in baseball, and people want the machines to start calling balls and strikes. Yeah. I'm not one of them. I think it hurts the flow of the game, and I think the players would dislike it more than the fans. But boy, oh boy, in that case, it sure seemed to be needed. Yeah, give them some discretion. I don't know how. Maybe you could, have not every one of those reviewable. I guess this would be the case, but you leave it up to the discretion of the officials. Somebody could whisper in their ear from New York, well, hey, guys, time out. We got to look at that again.
Yeah, so you remember a couple years ago how out of hand the catch-no-catch issue became?
Yeah.
I mean, we're stopping every game two or three times, and no one can figure out what a catch is.
Yeah.
And they finally fixed it last year. They simplified it. They said, let's use some common sense here. If the guy pulls the ball in, gets 2 feet in, it's a catch. If he loses it after that when he's out of bounds, who cares?
Yeah.
They fix that. My concern, though, is that this is going to become the new catch-no-catch problem, that they're going to review a pass interference tonight, and they might make a decision, and then Sunday when the rest of the games happen, they're going to review those, and it's going to look different. They're going to be looking at different criteria because every one of these referees is different. It's just a judgment call. I don't know how you can make it consistent.
Adam Hogue, what's your podcast called?
It's called the Hogue and Johns Podcast. There's still time to check out our episode from last night before kickoff tonight. And we will also have a post-game episode after the game tonight. Win or lose, whatever happens, we'll be breaking it down.
Does Roe get off early for the three Bears today for our Bears coverage? I believe so.
Yeah.
I think he might be participating.
What do you mean?
I think he's a part of the show.
Yeah. Who is?
Rokan.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But he's not normally part of the three Bears.
Correct.
But they're doing that tonight, I think, starting at 6.
That's correct, until kickoff, and I am on with them at 6:35.
I'm not a big bets guy, but I'm just going to throw some of these prop bets that we were talking with Sam Panionovich yesterday. Khalil Mack sacks 13.5 for the season.
Over. I think he's got a chance to get 20.
Akeem Hicks tackles for loss 11.5.
Under, but just barely.
Team missed field goals 5.5.
Over.
We're going to miss more than 5.5. And is that may not be catastrophic anyway, right?
No, I mean, if
Robbie Gould usually missed fewer than that, but if that's not 10. You could get 6 here. You're going to take the over at 5.5?
Yeah, I am. I mean, that doesn't include extra points, though.
It does not.
Field goals. 6, but I don't think it's going to be as big of a problem as it was last year.
Bears playoff wins. He's got a 1-5. Well, you say 3, essentially.
That's right. First round bye and win 3 games. Yep.
Bears to win the NFC, plus 500. $100 wins 500. You'd take that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I like that.
Khalil Mack to win the MVP. He's got it at 100-1.
I don't think he wins MVP. I do think he wins Defensive Player of the Year.
Mitch Trubisky to win MVP.
This is an interesting thing.
I think this is insane. But
yeah,
go
my
ahead.
Answer's no.
Thank you.
My answer's no, but the odds for this came out at 200-1. And at 200-1, I would have put $5 down on that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I know that, but that's still that is a different answer to the question.
Yeah,
because
I know.
Which you're still saying I don't think it's going to happen, but
right.
Yeah, I've got the money to lose. I didn't ask you if you had $100 to lose. I asked you if you thought he was going to win MVP.
No, I don't.
And you don't think he's going to win MVP, but you might take action on that at 200-1.
I think it's in the realm of possibilities. If the Bears are a Super Bowl team and he's the quarterback on that team and he gets better,
then he's in the conversation.
That puts you in the conversation.
Absolutely. The Hogue and Johns podcast. And listen for Adam this evening as our pregame coverage for, and we don't even do the games.
I know.
But we have the best pregame coverage, the most listened to, funniest, most insightful, most outrageous pregame show in town.
And postgame. They're on afterwards, after the game too, and I'll join them after the game with all the locker room reaction.
It's always good to see and hear you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Adam Hogue.